Because now we know the reason I've been pushing off this chabura is so that I can say in this week's parsha, it says ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lufneihem lufneihem v'lo lufneiakum. So the Gemara in Gittin says, as we learn from there, that there's an isser, prohibition, of going to secular court. I don't want to focus so much on the isser per se of going to secular court, but really the heter of going to secular court. I think through our discussion of the heter of going to our coast, we can learn perhaps a little bit about the isser of going to our coast. The Tashbates in Beis Reish Tzadi, he says something which I think is assumed by most who followed him, that the isser of our coast is an isser d'oraisa. And as such, we need to ask, after we know that it says in Chaf Vav Aleph in Shulchan Aruch that asr ladum b'fnei dayanei akum v'ar kos, we need to ask, how could it be that in the next Sif, in Sif Beis, it says, Haiso yad akum t'kifo v'aldino aleim, v'enu yachal l'hatzel v'mendo b'dayanei Yisrael, yifbenu l'dayanei Yisrael t'chila. First, he should go to Beis Din, try to bring him there. Im lo ratza lavo, if he doesn't want to come, no tol reshus mi Beis Din, u'matzel b'dayanei akum yad v'aldino. So he should get reshus from Beis Din. And then after he gets reshus from Beis Din, so he's allowed to go to secular court. This question is already raised by the Kli Chemda. It's quoted also by the Pardes Yosef, both in the beginning of Mishpatim. And they both ask, how could it be that it's mutter to violate an Isser D'oraisa, in order to save a person's money? Mehechatesi, that just because you want to save your money, so you can go now and violate the Isser, the prohibition of going to secular court, just to save your money. Usually you have to give up your money in order to not violate an Isser D'oraisa. So the case should be, that should be the case as well. So we need to understand, how could it be that you have permission to go to secular court with the Rishus of Beis Din? We also need to ask, what in fact does the Rishus of Beis Din do? I could understand maybe there's some heter, but why? How does the Rishus from Beis Din play into a role? Just because Beis Din gives me Rishus to do an Avera, that usually doesn't work. That's not enough. Just because a Rav, you know, says, I give you permission to do an Avera, suddenly you have permission to do an Avera. So we need to understand, number one, what the heter is, what role does the Rishus play in that heter. And I think that perhaps, you know, we'll suggest several nafkaminas halacha lemaisa, I think, that could come out theoretically based on two possible understandings that I'd like to present of what the heter arkos is. The first, perhaps, maybe the less accepted, I'm not sure, approach, I think is formulated, number one, in the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer and Chosha Mishpat Gimel. It's quoted in the Piskei tshuva, for a different reason. I don't think it quotes this part of the tshuva, but the lashon of the Chassam Sofer there is, he says that the reason that you have to get netilas rishus from Beis Din, I'll read you his lashon, is da'az lo mikri haplilim al shmam, el al shem Beis Din shenasnu lo rishus. That by getting rishus from Beis Din, so then the decision or whatever happened, the judgment there is not nikra al shmam, it's not called in the name of the arkos. Elal shame based in Shanas Lurishus. The din that you get in our coast seems to be, now it's called al shame based in. In other words, to some degree, however this works, it seems to be some type of shlichus or yada richta of based in to some degree, that when you go to secular court and you get heter and rishus from based in, so when you're in our coast and you have and they give you a din, so it's almost like that's the psak of based in. You never really left based in. The question of how could it be that I have a heter to go to our coast and violate an isra, the answer is you never really left. You're really working, somehow functioning through Beis Din, through their permission. Their permission is some type of minu me'ein, minu shlichus. Again, this isn't, I guess, a real shlichus per se, but some type of hand of Beis Din, some tool of Beis Din. One of the tools up their sleeves is you can go to our coast when necessary, and through their rishus you can do that, and that's the function of the rishus in this case. And so the answer to the question that the Kli Chemda poses is, how can you violate the Isser? The answer is because you really are in Beis Din. That's just another way of Beis Din functioning. This is what it seems to be. The Chassam Sofer is saying. There are those who point out that this is probably what the Be'er HaGra assumes as well. The Be'er HaGra on Chafev Beis quotes as his makor to the heter of the heter arkos. So he writes, as usual, in a couple of words, he writes, Gittin Sham Uvenachrim Choftin, referring to the Gemara in Gittin on Pechasim Beis, which says that Ovde Kochav Mar Choftin Osov Omrim Lo Ase Mashi Yisrael Omrim Locha, referring to a get. But it says there that Ovdei Kochavim can coerce a person to do what Yisrael is omrim l'cha. So the Be'er Eliyahu explains a little bit more Rav Kook in the Ber Eliyahu explains the meaning of this Ber Hagra. So he said the Ber Hagra there is referring probably to Shitas HaTosus over there, that the get is kasher, even though the Nachrim are forcing you to give the get. The Tosus there says, De'ein ze lifnei akum. It's not considered as if it's lifnei akum when they're forcing you to do it. Kevan de Dayanei Yisrael mitzavim l'chovto, since Dayanei Yisrael are commanding or telling these goyim to go and beat the person to give a get. So it's considered as if it's not lifnei akum, rather it's lifnei Yisrael. So too, the Ber Eliyahu explains, the Ber Hagra is telling us that when a person gets reshus from Beis Din to go to our coast, it's as if the same thing is happening. That's as if Yisrael are commanding the Akum to... It's as if Yisrael is commanding the Akum and the Beis Din to tell them to do this. And Im Kain, once again, it's as if it's some type of Yad HaRichter or Shlichus of Beis Din, that's how this is functioning. He really never left Beis Din in the first place. He points out that it's a little bit messy. First of all, it's a Machlokas Rishonim whether they have to say the specific Lashon of Asei Mashi Yisrael Omrim L'cha or not. So he says that we assume here that this is going to be according to the Shita and the Rishonim, that even if you don't say Asei Mashi Yisrael Omer Lecha, even if they just say give a get, so according to those Rishonim, you would have to say that that's the case as well, because the court, when you go to court, they're not saying do what Beis Din tells you, they're just doing what they do. And they're not even saying, you know, they're not even saying, they're really doing Al Da'as Atzmam. There is no Minu Shlichos, there's no Shlichos. They don't think that they're functioning as a hand in Beis Din. So he says, since you get the Rishus, it must be that it's as if they are saying, Asei Mashi Yisrael Omrim Lecha. That's how it seems to be the Shita of the Chasam Sofer, the Ber Hagra, is explained by the Ber Eliyahu as well. And it could be that this is the opinion also of the Baal HaTrumos quoted in the Beis Yosef over there, because the Baal HaTrumos, as his makor for the heter of our coast, to go to our coast, quotes this Gemara in Gittin as well, as opposed to the other Gemara, which we'll get to, which is quoted by other Rishonim when explaining their heter our coast. So it seems to be that the Baal HaTrumos would be lining up in this camp as well, that the heter to go to our coast is that you're not really ever leaving Beis Din, you're actually in Beis Din to some degree, and that's why you're allowed to not really violate the Isser at this point, because you're never really violating the Isser. There is no Isser, because you really have never left Beis Din. That seems to be the Shita of all those the people we quoted. This Mahalach works very well. I don't know if this is what the Nesivis necessarily holds, but it works very neatly with the Nesivis, quote in the Beirurim Chaf of Gimel, who writes that it's required for, in order to get a heter arkos, so the Beis Din has to establish first that there is a Chiyuv. And he writes that this is true, so that, you know, when they go to our coast, they're not going to be taking more than they're supposed to. So the Nesivis says, I'm not sure to what extent we assume the Nesivis means you have to know that there is a chiyuv, but to some degree, you need to know that the other person actually is chayuv. And Im Kain, it makes sense that if we want to call this some type of shlichus of Beis Din, that the heter of our coast, that the reason you're allowed to go to our coast is because really you're a function of Beis Din, so it makes a lot of sense to use the Nesivis in the same light, or the Tziva is saying, you need to know that they're chayiv. Only then can you say that the arkos are carrying out what Beis Din wants, the hainu, that there is some type of chayiv that's assumed in the first place. Although I did see Rav Sternbach says an interesting svara which I didn't say anywhere else. Rav Sternbach says in a tshuva in Gimel Tuf Mem Aleph, he writes that it could be that the heter arkos, that even if it doesn't, even if you don't say like the Nesivis, which is the reason the Kli Chamda rejects this Mahalach, he says nobody paskins like the Nesivis. So we have to come up with a new Mahalach, because it doesn't seem that this whole Mahalach is going to work out, since we don't assume like the Nesivis. And therefore, since we don't assume like the Nesivis, so it's hard to imagine there's a Shlichus if really our codes can do whatever they want and has nothing to do with what Beis Din assumes. So it's hard to call that a hand of Beis Din or a Shlichus. But Rav Sternbach, I think the way he says it might answer that question. Rav Sternbach says that the heter arkos is a knas. That the knas, Beis Din gives you a knas that you can go to arkos, and that's his punishment. And let's say they punish you, they punish you more than Din Torah, and they're mechayev even more. So good. So that's what he deserves. That's our knas. Our knas is that you're chayev even more. Or our knas is that you have to go to our coast, and whatever they give you, so that's what you're going to get. You should have gone to Beis Din, you're not going to Beis Din, you decide not to listen. We're consenting you that you have to go to our coast. So it could be that it doesn't matter, even if you don't hold like the Nesivis, maybe you could say a similar type of Mahalach, that they're acting as our hand, the hand of Beis Din, in the sense that they're giving a knas to the person who refuses to go to Beis Din, and that's how it would be permitted. I think this works well for Rabbi Willig, who wanted to suggest that that there many seem to assume that even when you get a heter arkos, you still can only collect what based in or what din Torah would allow you to collect. Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest, and Beis Hiska Kalam Advav as well, he's I think spoken in public a number of times. Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest that you could even collect even more, perhaps, than din Torah would allow you to. And according to this Mahalach, it would seem that you can do that as well.
You think not everyone agrees with the Sivis at the point in the Beirim that you just quoted?
Right. Most the minig, I think, in the world is that we don't require there to, that Beis Din need to know that the person who's refusing to go to Beis Din is actually chayev, or that there is actually some type of chov that's outstanding before we give somebody permission. They don't investigate the case. They are mazmin somebody to Din. He decides not to go. And then Beis Din says, okay, he's not listening. We're not dealing with him. I have no idea if he's chayev or not. And they let him go to Beis Din. And then many say that after you do so, so you should ask rishus from Beis Din. Before you collect anything, you should find out from a rav. You should speak to them. Is this actually the reward? And some say otherwise, that's considered geneva. Okay? But most, I believe, do not assume like the Nesivis, which is one of the major reasons that the Kli Chemda rejects this approach. And the Kli Chemda eventually comes to the conclusion that you have to take another approach. And the other approach that he decides to take is not the approach of Shlichus, but rather, let's start, I don't know if he quotes this part exactly, but the other approach that's offered in the Rishonim starts off with the Rosh and Bava Kama, Rosh and Bava Kama Ches Yud Zayin, quoting the Gemara in Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Ben Beis. So there, the Gemara says, "Minahach milsa da'amri inchi karis lechavrach v'lo anyach." How do we know that if a friend calls, if somebody calls his friend and he doesn't answer, "Rami guda v'shadi yilavei," you should take a wall and throw it at him. So if you are calling a guy to go to Beis Din, he doesn't want to listen, so you should punish him. You should throw a wall at him, and we don't care. You can take him to our coast now. So from there, the Rosh says that that's what Rav Palti. That's why he paskin that it's mutter to go to our coast lahotzi mamono in a case where the Nitba is refusing to go to Beis Din. So that's Rav Palti, the Rosh says, that's Rav Palti's source, so I guess it's the source for this heter, to go to our coast. He said the source lies in that Gemara in Bava Kama, that if a person's not listening to you to go to Beis Din, you're allowed to punish him, you're allowed to throw the wall at him, and you're allowed to take him to our coast. So we have two Gemaras, either the Gemara that's quoted in Gittin, or it seems to be another source quoted by the Rosh, the Gemara in Bava Kama. So the Kli Chemda does not, I think you have to ask the question that just because you want to punish the guy, so who said that in order to punish a person, that means you're allowed to violate the Isser of going to our coast? We're not going to use, it doesn't seem like he's going to use this this Shita of Shlichus. He rejects it because he doesn't like the Nesivis, and he's using the Mahalach of the Rush, but just because you want to punish somebody, so since when does the need to punish somebody mean that you're necessarily allowed to violate an Isser of Doraisa just because you need to punish somebody? So the Kli Chemda explains, and this is going to be the basis for the second approach. The Kli Chemda explains, I think this is what the approach that Rabbi Bleich assumes as Dabar Pasha in his article, is that the Isser Arkos only applies, as the Kli Chemda, when there is an opportunity for Lifnehem. When there's no opportunity for Lifnehem, you can't go Lifnehem, so then there is no Isser. There is no Isser when you can't go Lifnehem. It says Lifnehem lo Lifneyakum. That assumes that there's a Lifnehem. If there's no option and the person is refusing to go there, so what are you supposed to do? You did your best. So there is no Isser. There's the Isser of Lifnehem lo Lifneyakum only applies assuming you can go Lifnehem. If there's no Lifnehem, you don't have an opportunity for Lifnehem, then the Isser falls away and there is no Isser. This is very much understood based on the Svar of the Rambam in Sanhedrin Chaf of Zion, who writes that the reason for the Isser Arkos is that you're Meirim Yad B'toris Moshe Rabbeinu, and that the Isser of Arkos, accepting secular law, is an acceptance of it's a rejection of the Torah and acceptance of secular law, and therefore it's basically an affront to the Torah, and a rejection, and that's why you're Meirim Yad B'toris Moshe Rabbeinu. So we understand that if you try your best, and you try to bring the guy to Beis Din, and then he says no, so then, when he says no, so the Yisr is going to fall away because you're not Meir Miad B'Toros Moshe Rabbeinu. You tried to go to Beis Din, you did your best. He didn't want to go. So what's your choice? You're not rejecting Torah at all. You tried to go. You wanted to use Torah. You Adarabba, you were Mechabi Torah. You went to Beis Din first. They said no. So that's why it would be permissible. The Yisr is going to fall away Once you take that route and you try to go to Beis Din, he says no, so you're not being married b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's not going to be an Isser anymore of Lefneim v'lo Lefnei Akum. So whereas the first Mahalach was that you're actually not really leaving Beis Din. You're in Beis Din the whole time. You're a Yada Richta of Beis Din. It's a Shlichus of Beis Din. It just happens to be that you're in our coast. This approach is saying, no, you're in our coast, but it's mutter to go to our coast. You're not in Beis Din at all. You're leaving Beis Din, but Berushas Beis Din, you're going to our coast, because sometimes you're allowed to go to our coast. The Yisr doesn't always apply in cases where a person is refusing to go to Beis Din. According to this Mahalach, you need to explain why does one need Netilas Rishus? What's the requirement of Netilas Rishus according to this approach? According to the first approach, Netilas Rishus seemed kind of obvious. In order to be a Shliach of Beis Din, you have to get Rishus from Beis Din first in order for that to happen. According to this Mahalach, that there is no Isser, so we need to explain, and I'm going to present, I think, three approaches as to what the Netilas Rishus actually does. The Yamshel Shlomo and Baba Kama, he's discussing there the discussion of whether you can make a Tanai between two people that we want to go to our coast. So there he writes that in the shtaros, sometimes it had this tanai that they would be down lefnei our coast. And he writes that tanai, it doesn't really work, but it works a little bit. What that tanai in the shtar means, it doesn't mean, of course, you're not allowed to go to our coast. All that tanai means is that you're allowed when the person is an alim, so then you don't need to ask Rishus like you normally do because of that tanai, so you can go straight to Beis Din. So his lashon is that he writes that Mi'ikar Adin, in such a case, you don't need to ask Rishus. And he writes, "Uvizeh oker tzas ha-takana shenagu bebatei dinim shebi Yisrael." That because of this tanai, so you can be oker tzas the takana of asking Rishus. In other words, it seems to be that the Yamshel Shlomo is assuming that if you take this mahalach, I'm assuming he takes this mahalach, and that the Isser just falls away. So why do you need Netilas Rishus? The Aaron says you really don't need Netilas Rishus. Netilas Rishus is just a little bit of a takana. Mi'ikar Adin, the Isser falls away, there is no Rishus. There is a takana to require Rishus. What's the reason that there's a takana to require Rishus? So it's not clear exactly what he thinks the takana is. The Knesset HaGdola has a discussion where he seems to imply that takana might be because without Rishus from Beis Din, we're afraid that some type of takala will happen, that who knows, I guess, what they're going to do to you in our coast. We want to have Beis Din oversee this process before everybody goes and runs to our coast. The Orchos HaMishpatim, which was quoted in Rabbi Bleich's article, which is, I found it in Dine Misarev, not under Dine Arkos, it's in Dine Misarev Klal Memvav Beis. So he writes there that the Netilas Rishus allows a person to be gove the hotzos, that the person is going to have to be motzi when he goes to Arkos from the Nitba. Eventually he can go back to Beis Din and collect whatever lawyer fees, that legal fees that he had to pay because he was required to go. So al yedei Netilas Rishus, you're able to collect those expenses. But these don't seem to be any reasons, me'ikar adin, per se, that you need to have Rishus. The reasons are that me'ikar adin, you're allowed to go to Beis Din, the Isser falls away, there is no Isser. Just for whatever, you know, minor reasons, there's some type of takana that they had that you should be notel Rishus. I don't understand what it means that you could be oker tzas ha-takana, just because if Beis Din made a takana for whatever reason they made it, I never understood what it means that because of this tznai, you now have the right to be oker that takana. It's just a question that I never understood. What does your tznai have to do with Beis Din's takana? How could your tznai, your agreement in the shtar, get rid of that oker tzas ha-takana? I don't know what that means, how you're allowed to do that. But nevertheless, this seems to be the first approach in explaining what the purpose of the Netilas Rishus. The Netilas Rishus really isn't so important. The Netilas Rishus is just a takana, and it will obviously mean that we can get rid of the Netilas Rishus much easier if we view the Netilas Rishus in this light. It seems to be that the Kesef HaKadshim, Chafav Beis, assumes that the Netilas Rishus is a little bit more important. He discusses there a case where there's an umdana that the person... he's for sure a Rasha, he's for sure an Alim, there's no way he's going to listen to Beis Din. Do you need to ask Rishus from Beis Din before you take him to our coast? There's no way this guy in a million years is going to go to Beis Din. Everybody knows he's a big Rasha. There's no way. Do we have to bother and waste our time in asking? So the Lashon of the Kesef HaKadshim is, he says, you don't need to ask Rishus. He says, just like Chazal say, chaver ein tzarech hasra, just like a chaver, when he's about to go kill somebody, you don't have to give him a hasra, because we know that a hasra is just to be mafkan bein shogun lemezid. We know what this guy is thinking, so we don't need to ask him. We know, of course, what this guy is. He's a chaver. We know what he's thinking. We don't need to ask him. So he writes, hu adin over here, that's basically what you could say in the case of an umdina. In other words, what he seems to be saying, in the case of a kachim, is that the purpose of asking rishus from Beis Din and going to Beis Din is that you need to clarify that this person, in fact, is a Masariv. You're claiming he's not going to go to Beis Din, so it's mutter for me to go to Arkos. How do you know? First, you need to try and go to Beis Din. You need to try to get him to go there. You need to be mevarer that this person, in fact, is a Masariv. That's what your Netilas Rishus does. That's what your Asmanos and eventually a Netilas Rishus does. It's mevarer this person, in fact, is a Masariv. So Nafkamina says the Kesef HaKadshim, if we already know that this guy is a Masariv, Chaver in Tzarech Hasra, who I didn't hear, this person doesn't need a Hasra, there's no point of being Mazanim to base him, because we know already, we don't need to be Mavar it, we know. So that's the second approach, and it's much more of a requirement, this Netilas Rishus, because the Netilas Rishus requires that you be Mavarer whether this person is a Masariv or not, and that's the purpose of the Netilas Rishus.
It's implicit in those cases.
In some cases, maybe what you need is already implicit, and you don't need to ask it from Beis Din. Correct. You don't need to be Mazanim. I know already. The guy's a Rasha. What do I need to ask Beis Din? Okay. The third approach. This is the approach presented by Rabbi Bleich. It's. I only saw it in a couple of other places. I don't know. Maybe, I saw Rav Chaim Cohen in an article. I think in Tchumen. No, in Divrei Mishpat. He says this approach, as well as Rav Sternbach suggests this basically in Gimel Taf Mem Aleph, where the reason that you need to be notel rishus from Beis Din, if you assume that the Isser falls away, the reason that you, when the Isser falls away, is because you need to be Megala, you need to show that you, in fact, are not being Meir Miad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Who said that just because you don't have the opportunity, you know, you can't go? Okay, but you need to show, you need to try and show us that you are actually being mechabed Beis Din, as the Lashon of Sternbach uses. You need to go and show your kavod to Beis Din, to try to go to Beis Din. So it's not so much to be mevara what the nitba is thinking, what the mesarev is thinking, it's to be mevara what you're thinking. Are you really somebody who wants din Torah? So you need to first go be notel rishus, and al yedei, you're netilas rishus, so then you have been megala that you're not meir miyad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, but until then, so by you going to our coast, even if you don't have any other choice, so you have not proven yourself that you are not Meir Miyad B'Toras Moshe, you need to ask Rishus in order to show that you're not Meir Miyad B'Toras Moshe. Okay, so those are the basic two approaches, whether it's Shlichus or whether the Yisr just falls away. And then within the second approach, there are three basic opinions, I think, or three Mahalchim as to what the need for Netilas Rishus would be. Either it's a Takana, or it's the Mivara about the Mesarev, or it's the Mivara about the Toveya. So now I just want to say five nafkaminas, perhaps. I'm not sure if any of them are mochrach, but I think each one of them leans in one direction stronger than the other. The first nafkamina is the obvious one, which we started already presenting, and that's the case of an umdina, when you know for sure that the person is not going to listen. So according to the mahalach that you need shlichus, so if you need shlichus, so it's going to be hard to say that you can, you know, just because this guy, there's an umdana that he's a Rasha, but you still need to get a shlichus from Beis Din. The only heter that you have to go is that you're acting through Beis Din. So you need to go and get rishus from Beis Din in order to go to our coast, because otherwise you're not allowed to go. You're not going to be considered as if you're in Beis Din if you don't get rishus from them. But if you assume, like the other mahalach, that the Isser falls away, and the only reason for Netilas Rishus is, like the Kesef HaKadshim says, to be Megala, that the person is actually a Masarev, so in a case where you know that he's a Rasha, so then you don't need to be Megala that he's a Masarev. We know already that he is a Masarev. You could also suggest, according to the other point, that it's not to be Mevara that he's a Masarev, it's to be Mevara that you are accepting Beis Din, and that you're not Meir Miyad B'Toras Moshe. You could argue either way. It could be that in some instances, when you have no choice, of course, everybody knows that you're not Meir Miyad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Muvan Me'elav. You have no choice in this case. We don't need you to go and waste your time to be Megala to us that you are being Meir Miyad. You don't need to. So you don't need to ask Rishus in that case as well. You could argue the other way. No, even though the purpose that the Isser falls away, it could be you see a need to show us through a formal process by going to Beis and asking for a shus, even in the case of an umdana, where we know that the person is not going to go, but you need to megala yourself, maybe. So maybe in that case, you could argue that even according to that mahalach, you'd require rishus. I think also, maybe, the flip side, you could have said, even if you want a hold of shlichus, maybe there's some type of implicit shlichus from Beis Din, in cases where there would be a rasha, and some it's an umdana, it's clear he's not going to go, so maybe just like, you know, we have shlichus from the Bati Din and Eretz Yisrael, that we can be done even though we're not mumchin. So maybe similarly, that type of shlichus might, an implicit shlichus from the very beginning, might apply to anybody who we know that the person is not going to go to Beis Din. Okay, but I think it leans more in the direction of the way I presented it originally, that would be a nafkamina of whether you need to get rishus in a case where there's an umdana by a person who is not going to go to Beis Din. The second case I wanted to discuss is, let's say you live in a place where there is no Beis Din. Okay? Not in the days where you can do Bati Din over Skype, but let's say that you used to not have that option and there wasn't a place where there was no Beis Din, you had no option, so what are you supposed to do? So, you know, you need to go save your money. So if the reason in the first place that you were allowed to go save your money was because you were never really violating the Yisr, you actually never left Beis Din, you're really B'shlichus Beis Din, but here there is no Beis Din, so how could you say you're B'shlichus Beis Din or that you're Yad HaRichta of Beis Din? You can't. There is no Beis Din. That's ridiculous. You're not being notable just from any Beis Din. So welcome that there's no Beis Din. You might talk or be stuck. You're losing your money. Okay, it's still Usr. What do you want from me? The only heter in the first place was to use the shlichus of Beis Din. But if you say no, that in a case where you're not being Meir Miyad B'tosh Poros Moshe Rabbeinu, so of course there's no Isser. So in a case where there's no Beis Din, it's Muvan Me'elov, of course I know why you're not going to Beis Din. There's no Beis Din. You're not Meir Miyad B'tosh Moshe. Everybody knows why you're not going to Beis Din. There is no Beis Din. You don't have a choice. So in Cain, in such a case, there would not be an Isser. I've been bothered all year about the Tshuvas HaRashba and Beis Reish Sadi quoted in the Ramah in Simen Ches, who discusses a case in the Ayaros Kitanos where there isn't somebody, afilu mishi odeya afilu os achas. Mamash ame haaretz, they don't know anything. They don't even know the Aleph Beis. So he says, what are these people supposed to do? He says, v'anu tzrichem la'amidam ladun al-fasher al-korchan shel ba'al davar, v'im lo namid, and if we don't take them to Beis Din, nu, so what's going to be if we don't take them to Beis Din? What's the big deal? Nimtsu holken la'arko shel nachrim rabo anasim. They're going to go to Arkos. So at first glance, I was very bothered by the Rashba. I don't understand. In a case where so he comes up with the whole thing. What are you going to do? There'll be Kabbalah, and then you'll be makabel these people to be done al pipshara. Fine. So, but what was he so concerned about? It sounded like he was concerned about going to Arkos. So why was he so concerned about going to Arkos? I don't understand. Of course you can go to Arkos. Isn't it Pasha that you can go to Arkos in such a case? What's your choice? Going to Ame Aretz? They don't know anything. Are you being Meir Miyad B'Torah's Moshe in such a case? Of course not. There is no basin. There's nobody. There are no Dayanim. There's nobody in the city. So why are you not allowed to go to Beis Din? So I thought at first, maybe the Rashba assumes, like the first Mahalach, he's assuming, no, the Isser doesn't just fall away when there's no Beis Din. There's always an Isser. And you need to have a Shlichus from Beis Din in order to have a Heter Arkos. And in order to get that Heter, you need to have a Shlichus from Beis Din. If there is no Beis Din, then you're stuck. But I'm not sure about the last two lines. V'rabu ha'anasim. I don't know what those words mean. So they could mean V'rabu ha'anasim means he's not concerned about the Isser Arkos. He was concerned, v'rabu ha'anasim, either that the Jews who are going to go straight to our coast are going to pull all types of shtick and maybe steal and take too much like they're not supposed to. V'rabu ha'onsin, they're going to be, the Jews who are going to our coast are going to be ma'ani somebody. Or maybe he's just really afraid of what the goyim are going to do to us if we are going to Beis Din. So it could be that those two words, which they're in the Beis Yosef and the Ha'aros, he has like a few different girsos. Some might change a little bit what it means, but v'rabu ha'anasim, those two words might mean the Rashba. I'm not saying anything in the Rashba. The Rashba is not telling me anything from those two words. Or it could be that he has two problems: nimsu holchen la'arkos, and that's taka and iser, and v'rabu ha'onsin, and there's also other problems that they're going to be onsin. So I'm not sure. I don't have a raya from the Rashba, but I thought it was just very fascinating to me that the Rashba was to such an extent, you know, was not going to let people go to our coast, that he wanted people who don't even know the Aleph Beis to be the Dayanim. So I thought that was very striking. On the flip side, the Shud HaRivash in Simon Reish Tez Zayin seems to imply the opposite. He seems to say that in a case when there's no Beis Din, you would be allowed to go straight to Arko. So he writes like this. Shahayala, he's talking about a case where somebody should have gone to Beis Din. Shahayala litfoa zechuso lifnei dayani Yisrael, kevan sheika dayana ba'ara. Since there are dayanim in the place, so therefore you should have gone to Beis Din v'lo lalechus lifnei akum. Mashma, that ke b'makom deleika ara dayana ba'ara, when there is nobody there, so then you'd be allowed to go. He continues, af ileka dayana bara, even in a place where there are no dayanim in the land, v'hayat sarich ladun barako shalakum, lo hayalo limsar chaveru biyad akum alim. So you shouldn't, in such, even though in a case where there are no dayanim, you shouldn't have gone to akum alim, you know, these bad akum, you should have gone to nice akum. But implying that in the case where there are no akum alim, and they're normal batei din, that you know, not like in some, you know, these bad countries, right? What's that?
Olam,
yeah, strong. In other words, that they're going to do bad things to you, right? But in the case where, you know, it's a nice space, a nice arcos, where we're not so scared about them, you know, like in America maybe, so then there would be nothing wrong with going in a case where there are no dayanim. Okay, so that's it seems the Rivash assumes that when there is no option of going to Beis Din, so of course you're not Mir Miyad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, and there is no Isser. The Lashon of the Rivash is Hayala Litboa Zechuso Lifnei Dayani Yisrael, Kevan Shiika Dayana Ba'ara, or Dina Ba'ara, Velola Lechas Lifnei Akum, Af Ileka Dina Ba'ara, Vahayatzarach Ladin Barako Shal Akum, Lo Hayala Limsar Chaveru Biad Akum Alim. Yes? No? Okay. The Chukos HaChaim, Rav Chaim Palagi, and Simon Vav quotes the Rivash. I think he makes his diuk from the Rivash. He quotes Kama Poskim that agree with him. And he quotes the Rav Minchas Yehuda in the Sefer Daz Zekanim. I don't know, does anyone know what the Minchas Yehuda is? He quotes the Minchas Yehuda. Okay, so maybe he's not, I don't know how much weight he carries. He quotes the Minchas Yehuda in the Daz Zekanim, who asks Akasha. And he says, why does the Pasuk need to be my lifnehem velo lifnei akum? We already know that Gerim are Pasul to be dayanim. If gerim are apostle to be dayanim, obviously akum are apostle to be dayanim. What's the chiddush of the pasuk of lifneim lo lifnei akum? So he says, his teretz is that gerim, they're only apostle kasher yesh dayanim acherim. When you have another option, so then gerim are apostle. But if you don't have another option, so gerim are ksherim. Now he's saying this to explain the difference between gerim and akum and why you need an extra limud to be memayid akum. It sounds like what he's doing is being memayid akum even in a case when you don't have another choice. Okay, so it seems to be at least that shita. If the Rashba doesn't hold that way, then this shita of the Minchas Yehuda quote in the Das Sekenam seems to be taking the mahalach that that even if there's nobody there, there's no option, you have no choice. So then the Isser will still remain. You're still not allowed to go. And that's probably, if the Lamdas would make sense, if you assume that the only way to go to Arkos is through Shlichus, but if you don't have Beis Din, so you don't have Shlichus and you still can't go, even though you're going to be losing your money, you have to be Moser Nefesh to not violate the Isser. Similarly, what about a case where Beis Din does not have the Tokef or the authority?
Between a case of
No, you could make other chilukim, but that was the chiluk that he made.
No, not with him. What you're saying now, you're making an assumption that you're making this a nafkamina, that when you can't go to no Jewish courts in the area, so then maybe you go to our courts, right? Maybe, but that's the second mahal. That's nothing. Maybe you only have the case of an issue of bifneihem when the person's a misarev, meaning. You can't go. He won't allow you to go to the Jewish court. But just because there's no Beis Din in your area, that's not an issue of not violating the Bnei Akum. You're equating the two, right? You're equating a case of Masarev, a Baal Din, I'm not going to go. They're not getting any money from me. I'm not going to Beis Din.
There's another Nafkamina.
What?
The guy's not a Masarev. But
right.
I
saying, you're saying he's not a Masarev. There's no Beis Din around.
Right.
So you're saying that's also you're equating that. You're saying that's also a case of that's not an issue of Bnei Akum.
Right, because it's so clear that you're not being married yet to Taurus Moshe when there is no option for Taurus Moshe.
Too. Maybe you have to go find a Beis Din.
There is no Beis Din. Basically, you live on a desert island and there's no one around. That's it. Make a Beis Din. We're the only two people who live on a desert island.
You have a minion.
I know, but those aren't Dayanim.
Okay, but they're Jewish.
Okay. Can you consider a rejection of Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu if they're not even donning Al Pi Torah's Moshe?
I don't know. Are those the same thing? Are those the same things?
But they're arbitrators, right?
Okay, so that gets... Okay, yeah, okay.
Why is that not a violation? Why is that obvious that that's not a violation of Lifnei Akum just as much as the case of Masar? Right? That's what you're saying. That it's the same thing. I'm just not sure.
Here. One, that he's Mazni after his Moshe, and the second, that he's going them into a Lilian. Now, the second, you eliminate open completely if you have arbitration.
Okay, so you're suggesting that if there's arbitration... Okay.
Okay.
Could be.
Okay.
Along a similarly, I wanted to suggest. Let's say there's a case where Basin doesn't have the power to enforce the din, like in certain cases where they can't enforce the law. So if it's a vorn shlichus, so you still need to get a shlichus. The Marasham in Aleph Peites, he has a lashon. He quotes the Av Basin of Bichach, where he's discussing a case where the nitba is mode. A case where the nitba is mode, but he just doesn't want to pay. But he's mode that I'm chayev. So he writes there. That case is not so important. But the lashon that he says is that midina in tzarech rishus. He writes ki ka'es in koach beistin yafe, v'rak midas chasidas lo dia lebeistin. But you really don't need to ask Beistin. It sounds like he's saying that when there is no koach Beistin Yafe, so it's only a midas chasidus to ask Rishus, then you don't really need to ask Rishus. When ain koach Beistin Yafe, there is no iser. It sounds like he's saying, koach Beistin not Yafe, you have no choice. Again, you're not being married of Yad B'Torah's Moshe, you don't need to ask Rishus. Midas chasidus to ask Rishus, okay, mikra adin. It sounds like the Marasham seems to be siding with this tzad that only when you have an option of going to Basin, if they can't enforce it, that's not really a real option of going to Basin because they can't help you. And since they can't help you, so he seems to imply that the Isser falls away. And it's just the Midas chasidus to ask Basin, but really you don't need to. The third real nafkamina is who do you need to ask Rishus from? If you assume that the Netilas Rishus is a shlichus of some sort from Beis Din, so obviously you need to get a shlichus from Beis Din. The question is, can you ask, let's say, can I go ask a Beis Din, just go ask my Rosh Hashiva, go ask the Rav of the city, can I go ask him, here's the case, can I go to Beis Din Rebbe, like any other Shaila Visser Vahetra that you would ask him, can I get Rishus to go? So if you assume that you need shlichus, of course you can't ask a rav. You need to go to a Beis Din. But if you suggest that the reason that you need to be notel rishus is, let's say, like the last mahalach to be megala, that you are, you're very dedicated to Jewish law and that you believe in the Torah. So I went to my Rebbe. I told him, Rebbe, I want to go to Beis Din. I'm trying to get the guy to go. He doesn't want to go. So he says, good, you can go to Beis Din. I give you rishus. So maybe... go to Arkos. So he gives me Rishus to go to Arkos, and that's enough. So in terms of this discussion, the Orach Mishpat in Chav Vav Beis says that you need Gimel Anashim, you need a Beis Din of Gimel, no matter what, to get Rishus to go. The Marasham in Dalet Kufhei, he's Matir a Yachid to give Rishus, but he's only Matir a Yachid who you're Makabel to be a Dayan of the city, so that doesn't really prove anything. He's not letting any Rav, he's matering a Yachid who is, in a sense, acting as a Beis Din. So it still would fit with the first Mahalach. I think Rav Chaim Kohn's article says he wants to prove from this that it must be that the Mahalach of the Heter, it must be that it's a Vorten Shlichus, because otherwise it doesn't make sense why you need to have Rishus from an actual Beis Din. The Shud B'Tzel HaChachma and Da'al Lamazayin discusses these Shitos more at length. The Maril Diskin, now, I'm not sure how authoritative this is. At the back of the Maril Diskin, there's a kuntris of Likutim and Psakim and Kisveyad that they collected like from all over, these three little, like three lines of things that I guess you wrote on the side of the Gemara from the Maril Diskin that they put in the back of the Sefer there. So in Os Yud Gimel, he writes that even though normally you would need to get Rishus he says you don't need to get Rishus from the Beis Din that you would be mechuyev to appear before. You can go. There's a Beis Din Kavua in your city, so you would have to go to that Beis Din Kavua. You're allowed to go get Rishus from some other Beis Din who wants to give you Rishus. And he writes, De'enza dine mamunus kim iser v'heter. Einza dine mamunus kim iser v'heter. Again, I don't know how authoritative that Maral Diskin is. And he does require a Beis Din, but he doesn't, and he doesn't say a Rav Yachid, but he does allow you to get permission from a Beis Din that's not one that you are required to go to. So if you want to argue that it's shlichus, it's going to be hard to argue that it's shlichus, because you would lechora need to get shlichus from the Beis Din that you need to go to. I know, but the vorten getting shlichus from Beis Din is so that I'm in that Beis Din, but I'm not going to that Beis Din. It's this Beis Din I need to go to. Okay? The best I found of someone who actually suggests that you can get permission, if any of the Rashi Kol know of other Maram Komos, but an article in Tchumin, Gimel, page Reish Mem Dalet, Mordechai Eliyahu Shlita, writes that Ula Yachol Lekabel Roshus Me Rav Yachid Kechol Shelas Iser Veheter. But all I found is that Ulai from Mordechai Eliyahu, I actually saw in an article by Rabbi Landesman in Yeshurun, I think it's Yeshurun Yud Aleph, so Rabbi Landesman, the Beis Din in Muncie. So he quotes, everybody knows that there are lots of poskim and it's a machlokas rishonim that are mater Rav Yachid, and he didn't quote who they are. And then he writes, and everybody knows it's a machlokas in the Mordechai and Bava Kama and Dalet, who quotes the source for going to a heter arkos. So I looked at the Mordechai, and the lashon there is that you have to get rishus from Beis Din, Roshe HaKahal. So that's, I didn't think that that means a machlokas whether you can get rishus from a Rav Yachid. L'chor Roshe HaKahal are referring to the Zayin Tuvei Yair, which is to some degree a Beis Din, Imkain. I still haven't found a real source who says that you can get rishus from one Rav. So Imkain, if you need to get rishus from a Beis Din, so like Rav Chaim Kohn wanted to argue in Tchumen, it might lean towards why do you need to get rishus from a Beis Din? Why per se from Beis Din? That might imply that it's more of a shlichus. Unless you want to argue, no, it's not a real giloy unless you go to an actual Beis Din. You haven't been, certainly according to the Yitzim Megala, that he's a Masarev, so in order to be Megala, he's a Masarev, that for sure. You know, what does he care about this Rav? He can only be Megala, he's a Masarev. If a real Beis Din is trying to bring him, he doesn't really care about what this one rabbi has to say. Fine, two more nafkaminas. One nafkamina, let's say you get Rishus from a Beis Din to go to our coast. The Nitba is not cooperating. He doesn't want to go, so you go to the Beis Din. They give you Rishus. You go to our coast. In the middle of the Din, now I'm assuming, let's assume that, not like the Beis Din of America, let's assume that if you, in the middle, before the Pesach Din, somebody wants to go back. So let's assume that a Beis Din would be Mekabel them. Okay? That is a discussion. There are a lot of people who say that we'll be mekabel them or only not mekabel them to come back. Ein iskaken lahem, once a Beis Din has paskin, that's the mashmos of Lashon and the Ramah, where the Ramah says, v'nischayev bedinehem, so then we're not iskaken lahem. One could certainly be medayek from the Ramah that only when you're nischayev bedinehem, so only then will we not accept you. So let's say somebody gets rishus, and the nitba is giving him a hard time. He says, no, I'm only going to court. So they go to court, fine, he takes you to court. And then in the middle of the court case, the nitba says, I want to go to Beis Din now. I don't like what's going on. I want to go to Beis Din. So Taveya says, I got my heter ready. I got my heter. So if it's a Vorten Shlichus, so he already got his heter. He still has a Shlichus. He's working through a Shlichus. He got permission to go. But if he's being Meir Miad B'Toris Moshe Rabbeinu, so originally he tried to show that, well, I want to go to Beis Din. Now the guy's saying, look, I'm going to Beis Din. I'm ready to go. Let's go to Beis Din. He says, I don't want to go to Beis Din now. I already got Rishus to go, so maybe his heter doesn't apply, because now when you have the choice to stay in Beis Din, you're saying, no, I'm staying in our coast. So maybe you're being Meir Miad B'Toris Moshe at that point. We could have another Nafkamina, unless you want to say, no, he's not being Meir Miad at that point. He already paid his lawyers. He already schlepped down to New York City. He's in the court. It's annoying for him at this point to go to Beis Din. He put in so much preparation. He's not really, it's not an affront to Beis Din. He did his best at first. Maybe the heter shouldn't expire, or there's no, he's not, it's not in front to Beis Din. I very much wanted to go, but you made me come here in the first place, and I'm staying. So I think it leans toward a little bit more towards the first way I said it, but I think you could wiggle out of that as well. The last nafkamina that I want to present, there's a Tshuvas HaRambam in Siman Tavches who discusses what about a case where you got rishus to go to Beis Din. Sorry, to go to Arkos. You got rishus from Beis Din to go to Arkos, but they made a mistake. They were wrong. Beis Din didn't know what they were doing. They gave you Rishus. It was completely not appropriate for them to give you Rishus in that case. They were new Beis Din. They weren't really experienced in these things, and they made a mistake. So the Rambam says that the whole thing is batel. The whole case in our cause is batel. You're not chayav. The guy's not chayav anything. And the whole thing is null and void. So if you say it's a vort and shlichus, I understand very well. The shlichus never worked. The shlichus is batel. It's as if it never happened. No one's mechuyev to listen to anything. You should never go on to our cause in the first place. But if the vort is that you have to go to Beis Din and show that you're not Mirim Yad B'Toris Moshe. So I went to Beis Din to show that I'm not being Mirim Yad B'Toris Moshe. I already did that. So what do I care that they made a mistake by letting me? It's kind of like a placebo. What difference does it make? They already let me go, and now I went, right? So I did what I needed to do. I got my rishus. I showed that I love Torah. The guy said, no, I'm not going. They let me go, so I went, and now we were done. So why should I not have to listen to, that should be the what's binding, because I got my heter, and I did what I needed to do. And maybe if you take the other mahalach, you could argue on that Rambam, and that it shouldn't be batel, and that it should be kaim. So basically we have two approaches to what the heter of our kos is. Either it's a shlichus or it's not a shlichus, but sometimes the issur falls away. Three different explanations of what the purpose of Netilas Rishus is, and perhaps five nafkaminas based on the understanding of these approaches. Yeah?
If he does have a heter our kos, what makes the decision of our kos binding? Let's say the mitzvah doesn't like the decision of their kos either. So what binds him to that?
You're asking in general?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, our kos is more powerful to make you do, they have their ways of enforcing their law. And besides that, you're asking the Rambam? I mean, there could be types of Kabbalah, I guess, once you're there and you accept. That's one of the explanations that they say that we're in Niskakin, that Beis Din is not Niskakin, once you already went to our kos, is because there's some type of Kabbalah once you already go. And therefore, that somehow binds you, even if you want to go back to Beis Din. Beis Din won't accept it. Others say it's a knas, but there is that mahalach that it's binding. Okay.